Everybody excited about the Potter game tonight? Alright, everybody says you're good, you do over there. Alright, the October 11th Board of Directors meeting is called to order. First, I'd like to ask our interpreters to explain how to access interpretation to Boa Vista.
Good morning, announcement from the interpreter. To use the interpretation feature, please scroll to the bottom of the Zoom screen where the meeting's controls are. Click on the interpretation icon, the world, and select English as your language. If you're joining through the Zoom mobile app, cell phone, tablet, etc., please press the ellipsis, then interpretation, and then choose your language. Finally, click on the mute original audio to not hear the original Spanish low in the background. Headsets are available for interpretation. If you're in the meeting room, please check out a headset from the receptionist in the lobby. Aviso por parte del intérprete, para hacer uso del servicio de interpretación, favor de desplazarse a la parte inferior de la pantalla de Zoom, donde aparecen los controles. Haga clic en el icono de interpretación, globo terráqueo, y seleccione Spanish, español. Si está utilizando la aplicación móvil de Zoom, celular, tableta, etc., presione los puntos suspensivos, luego interpretación, y luego el idioma. Si no desea escuchar el audio original en inglés en el fondo, por favor seleccione Mute Original Audio, silenciar audio original. Contamos con auriculares disponibles para el servicio de interpretación. Si se encuentra en la sala de reunión, favor de pedir auriculares con la recepcionista en el vestíbulo. Thank you. Gracias.
Thank you. I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge gladly call home. The tribal nations of the San Diego region have historically shaped some justices. We acknowledge the harmony that existed between the land and nature and the original people who have since endured displaced from persecution and systemic oppression. We pay our respect to the unceded territory of homelands of 18 tribal nations in our region, the most in any county in the United States, from our cultural groups, the Cumia, the Iño, the Diseño, the Cubeño, and the Cahuilla. This land has nourished, healed, protected, and embraced them for many generations in a relationship of balance and harmony. As members of the Santa community, we acknowledge this legacy. We aspire to learn from indigenous traditional knowledge and experience in enduring the business of the past. Please join me in our pledge of allegiance.
Of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before I turn it over to Tessa for the first open forum, I just wanted to say thank you for the Glass and Bell Award today in honor of cancer awareness, breast cancer awareness month. So thank you everybody who was able to. All right, Madam Clerk, can you please confirm the quorum?
Good morning. I can confirm a quorum with 18 of 19 voting jurisdictions present, and currently we have 6 advisory members present as well. I would also like to mention before we start today with non-agenda public comments and member comments, that as a reminder, no comments shall use loud, threatening, profane, or abusive language that disrupts the orderly conduct of the meeting. It will not be tolerated. Disorderly conduct that disrupts, disturbs, or otherwise impedes the orderly conduct of the board meeting is prohibited. For our board policy, the amount of time allowed for each verbal public comment is determined based on the number of agenda items, the complexity of those items, and the number of persons anticipated to offer comment. This allows us to hear from as many people as possible and to complete our business while we still have a forum. Based on these factors, the chairwoman has determined that today's meeting, each member of the public will be allowed 1 minute for public comments. And as the public is aware, and the members, we take the first 5 public commenters at the beginning of the meeting, and the remainder will be taken at the end. The remainder that will be taken at the end of the meeting, I will call your name now, and we will call you at the end of the meeting. Paul DeBole, Catherine Rose, Cesar Javier, phone number 813, and Blair Beekman. Carolyn, would you like me to go ahead with public comments? Thank you. Our first public commenter, Alan C., please come to the podium. You'll be followed by Drew.
Good morning, board. Lawson Court, I'm going to focus on that. Last year, some months ago, we got a unanimous vote to look into an option moving Del Mar Track parallel I-5. Yet, we're still stalled with $400 million promised to move that track to put a second-tier track across the wildlife refuge in the lagoon. Shouldn't we pause that the Lonesome Corridor issue until we resolve what we're going to do to dump our track? I think that's kind of ridiculous. And let's look at here. Why are you using employees from Sandbag, Let's Go Union, to push Measure G? When you see stuff like this Lonesome Corridor waste, you really think the voters are going to buy off on this? And the union employees that pushes Measure G, that should be against the law. Their goal is getting more cars off the road by expanding the transit system. Of course they do, because you're transit employees. That's not right. Look at the Lonesome Corridor. Maybe you should pause that project before we figure out what we're going to do with the Delmar Bluff. I yield back.
Our next commenter, Truth, please come to the podium. You'll be followed by Michael Brando. And the following, and the final two commenters at this time, Robert Berman and Mark, please on standby.
All right, real talk. As soon as there's a new chair, the way these meetings run will have to change. 60 seconds to speak isn't cutting it. Long agendas aren't cutting it. Making attendees hangry ain't cutting it. And unnecessarily long presentations or meaningless monologues are boring everybody. Sandbag needs to move into the 22nd century. I've recommended Minto and Bill before, but other good options for a new chair, Jay Dunn, Luz, or Tony. There are others I like, but I would not recommend them at this time. Now, unfortunately, Clean Air Day was the same day as the Ivy City Council, and I wanted to take that stupid coaster. The air was cleaner in Oceanside, but it wasn't nearly as fun as Ivy. The coaster is an infeasible public transit option, so I still recommend a trolley for North County, even though the copper lines slow the whole system down now. Melanie, you guys can claim to plan and build networks, but if the systems don't work, no one's going to choose public transit, and your plans fail. Exactly why MTS and NCT require oversight. And Lisa, you donated $500 to this. That is absolutely disgusting. That is her child in the middle. Look at that. This is what
your time has expired. Michael Brando, please come to the podium. You'll be followed by Robert Grumman.
Okay, I'm speaking in long terms. We sit here, we can see her like all day long. I know, we never get to see the stuff that's really going on. We just sit here and have theater all day.
That was Tara Lasserima on May 21st at the County Board of Supervisors speaking truth that all of these meetings are all about theater, not really talking about what's really going on, but something else entirely different behind the scenes. At the Tuesday meeting this week, Nora Vargas had every single agenda item moved out of order. And then Tara Lasserima, when Nora vacated the premises, left and said, we're going to have a 5-minute break. It turned into a 30-minute recess. Terribly disrespectful. And just now, Cesar Javier comes here to speak, and you, Lisa, and what's his name? Shannon Ford, Sean Eula Rivera were chit-chatting, just laughing away, talking, and only did you tap him on the shoulder to look is when I held the camera on you. See? Trust is destroyed, and so does this organization by its own hands.
Your time expired. Our next commenter, Robert Grumman, please come to the podium.
I'd like to be last. We just had a little trouble with the slideshow. Thank you.
Then we'll go ahead with Mark. Please come to the podium.
Mark, I did a search on Microsoft, and this is what it said. This is Microsoft Copilot's response. Nora Vargas, a prominent leader, participated in the UN meeting with young global leaders in September 2024. Is that correct, Nora? Okay. You're ignoring me. Your lack of response would indicate that you're ashamed or hiding something. It's a very simple question. Did you participate in the UN meeting? Okay, well, obviously, this is an organization that is not part of America. It's a foreign organization. And I do not wish for Nora to be harmed or imprisoned in any way, even if she is a young global leader for the World Economic Forum or a global chamber. However, it is your sworn duty to address this. It's not all right to be in our government representing another organization.
Our final commenter, Robert Berman, please come to the podium.
Thanks for putting that. My slideshow isn't working. Former VP Provost of the San Diego County Airport Authority was recruited from the MAC after saying in 2019 we will be at Miramar in 10 years. He retired just 2 years after that. And my slideshow was going to show you the MAC, and that is what Lindbergh is following, their outline. And I'm sorry, my speech is probably not going to jive, but is it the focus of an airport to sell concessions, which the MAC highlights in their slideshow, like San Diego Airport, or is it the function of an airport to launch and land aircraft in a safe and efficient way? Airports are located on huge parcels of prime land. We are not Minneapolis. We are San Diego. We need land. You need to look at some of these airports for consolidation, and you also need to put them under the Sandags umbrella so that we can have a check and balance.
When your time expired, and that concludes the agenda comments at this time.
Thank you. Any member comments?
Yeah, first I want to thank the board for allowing me to participate remotely last time. And in Del Mar this weekend, we're going to have, from late tonight until early in the morning, Monday morning, 24/7 continuous construction. And this is a phase of the Del Mar Bluff stabilization that Del Mar really welcomes. This is putting piles in to protect their train tracks. And there's an Upper Bluff Coastal Trail that goes from 4th Street to 9th Street. And anybody can access that trail easily from 4th Street or 9th Street. And this will be a great opportunity, potentially, for any board members to come and actually see the construction and see what our sandbag dollars are buying. This is something that will protect the tracks for 30 years, and let's see where it goes. Thank you.
Councilmember Holder, were you on the queue? It's not showing up right now, but they're going to fix it. But go ahead.
Yes, thank you so much, Chair. I just wanted to take a moment to on City Council, we get our member comments at 10 a.m., 12 p.m., and 2 p.m. the day of the council meeting, and sometimes the day before the council meeting. So I guess that's a time to really process comments from the public. I received comments, very many comments, last night at 5 p.m., some of which the executive committee comments I couldn't even open. So I'm going to do with Adobe, which I don't have on my city phone. So I wanted to take a moment to apologize to the public. I appreciate that you're here, and I do pride myself in reading all the comments, but I cannot possibly do it when we get so many at such a late time. So thank you. Keep up the good work.
Any additional comments? All right, seeing none, I'm going to turn it over to Marlo for his update.
Thank you. First of all, I really appreciate the feedback that some of you gave me on the update and the assessment that I provided last meeting. We continue to make strides, and like I said, good or bad, the conversations we're going to bring them, and today will be one of those ones that we're bringing in some discussions of different items. We continue to cooperate with OIFA and all the ongoing investigations, and hopefully we can continue building the trust and openness here. Follow-up items, there was a request to bring in the CART scoping plan. We have delayed that a little bit because we started working with other MPOs with CART on how we can reassess their evaluation. So we will be coming up with a memo and sending it, and we will be coming with an update based on how our conversations are going on with the different MPOs. Regarding the regional plan, there was a request we heard on doing an evaluation of the 125. First of all, there is an agenda item today for a budget addendum, and that is to bring the assess the or begin the technical studies of how much it would cost to bring it to state a good repair and environmental studies in order to take out the tolls of that. In addition, we also heard that you wanted us to evaluate what would happen in the regional plan if we would model the 125 without tolls. We did that during the week, and preliminary, I want to stress preliminary, results do indicate that we would be within compliance, barely, but we would be within compliance of greenhouse emissions and BMT if we take out the tolls. Those are very preliminary results, but it does open the door to include a no-toll facility in the regional plan of the 2025. Now, the let's put the drawback there also. We had a managed lane proposed as the plan is a fiscal responsible plan. There won't be any revenues, so the managed lane will have to be pushed on the to the unconstrained period after 2050. So those are the results that we're getting right now. We did bring in also on another request by Mayor Jones to include as a request, as a standard, the Pledge of Allegiance and the tribal acknowledgments of the different board meetings and PACs that was brought to the executive committee today. And we will be bringing, I'll get on the exact date there, Mayor, when it will be coming to the board here. We'll also be sending additional information about the LAFCO, proposed LAFCO review of the agency. The status, we also send information on the status of our mitigation fund for the environmental that you asked Mayor Huebner about that. And we'll also bring up and send the information on the expenditures on Central Mobility Hub that was requested, and also other inquiries. On project updates, first of all, I really wanna, it was a great week last week. We had the San Diego Lagoon Wetland Restoration Ribbon Cutting opening. Thank you to Mayor Huebner for joining us and being the lead for the agency. This is a great project. It enhances, expands habitats, and it acts as an environmental mitigation for the Lausanne, for the I-5 HOV lanes, as well as local roadway in that area. SANDAC also hosted a housing forum with about 140 participants. There were different, there were local people, local individuals, local governments, different groups. And it was a great place where we could exchange information. We had Senator Nancy Skinner and Assembly Member Alex Lee as the panelists. On Lawson, I think it's been already discussed. Well, I think one thing that is very important is regarding rail, we had the passenger rail summit going on currently. Had the privilege to be there yesterday. It's the first summit that happens that is in person after the pandemic, so that's a big deal. And on the realignment of the Lausanne, we have finished the technical group evaluation on the value analysis. So now the teams are going to go back, do all their work and bring it all back together so they can bring it to the technical teams in the different cities next month. Del Mar Bluffs, I think it was Deputy Mayor also said that we have an absolute work window that's happening. That may change a little bit about the timing based on baseball, because North County Transit may have service, so we're looking to see who plays and goes to subsequent games, and we'll try to play it by ear there. But we will be doing work. Now, how long that work is going to be contingent about the service that North County Transit develops. I'm not going to talk a lot about this because I think my partner here, Everett, will talk about the 805 closure. Are you going to touch on that, Everett, a little bit? And if not, I can bring it up. Just say yes, sir.
You can go ahead, Mark.
On Saturday from 10 to 12, the community members, we're going to have a freeway closure event on 805 and 43rd Street ramps. SANDAC is leading the community bike event in that location. This happened also on I-15 some months ago, and it's when Caltrans goes and does their regular maintenance that shut down the facility, but it also allows the community to go there and have a feel how reconnecting communities happen. developments, right? They can use the freeway for walking, biking, and having that experience. Regarding the Purple Line and the 1688 Rapid, the feasibility study, it continues. Regarding the Purple Line, it is a complex project. It's going to take a long time, and the team is looking at the different options and phasing. We will be coming with a report to the board shortly on it. And there will be the rapid route will be a near-term solution for that area. On the 7815, I want to mention that we're working with Caltrans on releasing the draft environmental document next year. We're having discussions on what is the appropriate mitigation, BMP mitigation that should be considered there. But the project is moving forward. There were some discussions in the press that the project wasn't moving forward. I want to make it clear that that project is moving and teams are working on it. On Otay Mesa East, 65% of the design is being accomplished currently. On the airport transit connection, surveys are in place and happening to determine who goes, what are the times, not just travelers, but also regular commuters to go to work there. So that would really allow us to have a better understanding of what are the needs and what can we be doing as proposals there. That concludes my report right now. Thank you.
With that, we're going to go ahead and now move on to consent agenda.
I just one question on the central mobility hub. Are we going to, when you said that coming back, is that going to have some discussion of where the money's gone that we've actually allocated to it, which I think is right around $40 million?
We will be sending the funding and how it was spent before, and how airport transit connection is also planning to spend their funds. But yes, we will be coming and we'll be sending that the funding information that was requested.
Okay, perfect.
And we can connect with you also to see if that satisfies the request. And if not, we can expand it.
Okay. And then one quick question. I don't know if this should wait until we have item number five. It's about item number five.
When we go to the consent agenda.
Okay. All right, I'll ask it then. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Any other additional comments? I'm just going to ask everyone. Okay, go ahead. Let me just get clarification. Is this thing working? Can everybody just click on it once and tell me so I can make sure that I can read?
Regional plan that's going to be coming out, and that with taking the tolls off, we are just their meeting in compliance our greenhouse reduction, the 19%. So that, you know, that doesn't say that the tolls are going to go away, but to be honest, it is the first step. If it's in the regional plan that we are not foreseeing tolling there, then the Mark, next steps
happen. I'm gonna ask, so you made very brief comments to be giving an overview of what is coming, and that's your prerogative to do that. I don't want to get into a discussion about the 125. I just told the mayor that we're going to have that discussion when that item comes up. And so if it's okay with you, if you have a comment to make about the comments, this is the time. But if you have a comment to make of any of the agenda items, you can do me the favor of waiting until those agenda items come up, because I want to make sure we follow protocol.
I just wanted to say this for the record again.
Okay, we'll have to do it again during the, if someone can get there.
Mario, this is October.
Yeah.
West Fire season in the small areas. What have we done to alleviate the bottleneck issues with the highways that are used for evacuation heading west? There are bottlenecks that have been there forever, and we've highlighted those as being potential fatal zones for evacuees. Where are we with resolving bottleneck issues with lanes that are one lane, two, three, you know, continuing to change as people evacuate west? Thank you.
Okay. What route did you mention that was, I think, here?
This would be specifically 67, but there are bottlenecks on other evacuation routes.
Everett, do you want to help me on what's the emergency evacuation plan from Caltrans?
Yeah, so Caltrans has been working with emergency responders, Cal Fire, CHP, and others to reassess is on an annual basis is what we do to reassess our highway system and to identify where additional improvements may be made. So over the last few years, Caltrans has completed projects there that create some widenings and create opportunities to improve traffic flow through there. Certainly we have a larger project up and coming that's going to address most of those issues. The State Road 67 project is at some point will be presented here at the board, but you know, it's just to be informed that Caltrans is well aware of the concerns of the communities in Ramona and further east, as well as CHP and Cal Fire, and we're certainly have a plan to address any issues that may come up during this time.
That would be not what they on the front there. And my counterpart. A quick question here, Mario. I know we had a freeway cleanup working group at one point. Are they still active?
What working group, sir? I didn't
hear. We had a working group that looked at freeway cleaning and maintenance and all that. Is that still active, or?
Not that I know of. This is the one that was initiated at that time by Mayor Blakespear.
Oh, okay. I hadn't heard a long time on it, and so I was curious because I was reading about some issues on Freeway 894, talking about how filthy they are, and but they did mention that Caltrans is doing a great job at freeway maintenance and construction, though, just leaving a lot of trash. So, but I just point that out. Not in a bad way, but thanks.
I'm sorry, Mayor. So you're referring to Route 52 and
no, actually, it says here specifically, and they didn't narrow it down a lot, but the person lives in Spring Valley, and so they just said 94 and 8 are both horrible. Never seen them in such a bad condition. However, they did say it's great that you're fixing the freeways. So, that's for what it's worth.
I'm going to ask everyone to use this so that I can give you the opportunity to talk. Go ahead.
Follow up,
I would like to concur with Mayor Minto about, well, I'm not sure I'm concurring, but I would say that it would be useful to reconvene that subcommittee and I don't know where they left off. I know it was started by Council Mayor Blakespear. It was one of her pet peeves, the filthiness of all the interchanges in our city. This particular issue is still a problem in Encinitas. And so, again, I don't know where it was left off.
Yeah.
But whether we need to go to the state for some more money, what the solution is, I don't know. But I would hope that we could attempt to address the problem.
All right, what we'll do is I'll ask Mario and the team to, I was on the committee as well, if you can come back and just report back to the board, and then if, you know, what are the next steps in terms of meeting or where the actual committee is at. Okay. Yes, sir.
I was just going to say, point well taken. I think we're well aware that conditions are on our highways aren't perfect, but Caltrans is dedicated and diligent in trying to address litter, debris, graffiti, other blight that we find on our facilities as well as at campus. We welcome that opportunity to come back and talk a little bit more about that.
If you need us to rattle any cages up there above your pay grade, we'll do that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right, with that, we're going to go move on to our consent agenda. I just want to make sure everybody knows that based on public comment and item before us, our meeting is adjourned at about 2 o'clock, a little bit after 2 o'clock. So, so that you all can manage your time accordingly. All right, with that, I'm going to turn it over to Tessa for public comment.
And before I move into public comment, I'd like to announce for the record that item 3 on the consent agenda, the policy advisory committee actions, was changed. The executive committee voted to send the letter with the revisions proposed by the executive committee at today's meeting and directed staff to send the letter both to the chairs of the two committees and also to additional councils of governments. I'll move on to the public comments. The first commenter, Alan C., you'll be followed by Truth. Please come to the podium.
And as a reminder, when you please start, can you tell us on what item you're speaking to? Thank you.
It's concerning the transit, and I believe that's 5. Okay, yeah. So, anyways, if you look at the slides, please, Carolina, when he said he's going to remove the tolls, it's a lie. Because when you convert all lanes to managed lanes, I pulled Sandag when the auditor's right here. Managed lanes are a source of revenue. So basically, you're saying you know people don't carpool. So it's not about climate, it's another source of revenue on a road already paid by a transit tax. And he quotes on this one. Sandag also stated they did not expand 805, they saved $265 million because they bought out to that 125, made it a toll road. That's not what Transit promised. That's not what we were told. So believe me, Caroline, I hope you speak the hell up, because what they're doing is converting 125 into managed toll road. Look at 15. Look how clogged that disaster is on the sides when you got concrete barriers and a so-called fast track. The concrete barriers could have been 2 lanes right out loud.
Your time expired. Truth, please come to the podium. You'll be followed by Mark. And then the final 2 commenters, phone number 813 and phone number.
And to the minute, say, Tijuana Mayor Ismael was a regular public comment. If that's true, why did he get more than 60 seconds to speak? And why did he speak before me when I arrived way before him and his minions? Why does Senate continue to be perpetrators of inequity? Because the Mexican visitors were treated better than the Americans. They even had reserved seats and were standing where I was told I couldn't stand. And the minutes do not note when Nora left the meeting, sometime between 12:47 and 1:28 p.m. For any absent rep, the minutes need to give a short statement as to why. Item 3, 500,000 more from people's nickels and dimes instead of wasting to cover their corrupt bike tracks. Item 4, Joy and Jewel both got $100 stipends for staying home and looking at a screen. Item 5, why stall away 600,000 of people's tax dollars on an equity analysis when every single day before paying a toll, there is inherent inequity being perpetrated? And managed lanes, auto toll lanes, you can even call them rainbow road charges, it's still a tax to drive. But Carolina's ready to fight, that's why she supports taxing people more to Sandag's benefit. That is psychosis at the perfect example of it.
Your time expired. Mark, please come to the podium.
Thank you.
I was informed that you are not allowed to respond to non-agenda public comments, but you are allowed to respond to specific agenda items. I'm addressing three. And since I think it's important to know, and you're the chair of the board of directors that is asked to ratify the actions taken by the Policy Advisory Commission, I'd like to know if it's true, my search here on Microsoft, that and I'm quoting, it says, Nora Vargas, a prominent leader participating in the UN meeting with young global leaders in September 2024. Is that correct? Okay, now you are allowed to respond, but you're not. I can only take it that you have something to hide or you're ashamed. Obviously, if you weren't involved, it would be easy to just say no. Everyone here has taken an oath, and it's not okay to represent a foreign organization here in our government. You guys,
your time has expired. Our final commenters, phone number 813 and Paul Leibold. I would like to also remind you to mention which consent items you are addressing when you speak. Thank you. 813, please go ahead.
Okay, so I just wanted to speak on all of them because there is actually, it's all geared towards reducing carbon, right? There is no intention to actually reduce carbon emission production, nor is there a plan to reduce pollution. The agenda is to add industries that capture the carbon and for corporations to trade the air at forests. That is called carbon neutrality. Middlemen will get paid to ration the power left over after running a comprehensive global online replica of all Earth systems, smart cities, industry, and people. Super energy intensive, eh? In plain words, it's the story to get we the tax cattle into permanently surveilled cities. Stop the lie. Stop going along with it. Come on. Wake up.
Our final comment, Paul Bolt, please go ahead.
SR 125, sub-project initiation and equity analysis 1B finishing hold 2026. SR 125 facility ops, however, are currently continuing without even mentioning total removal, and the total removal analysis does not actually mention total removal. Sounds like more delaying garbage, while CMCB sounds like something which could be started concurrently with the project initiation, if a bit of time. Meeting minute. You're leaving too much out in the interest of brevity. Looks like a hiding stuff. Not sure what good just listing agenda numbers spoken on it. A popularity contest to keep up with the Oscars? As usual, just a list of speakers' names. Descriptions on the items on consent should include discussion and...
Okay, your time is expired. That concludes the public comments.
Yes. On this item, I'm happy to make a motion to move it forward. I want to share a couple comments on item number 5. I want to circle back that landing motion. When we go to County 24, the board voted to approve the development of a plan of action and a clear and updated timeline for the removal of toll-only operations for September 2025. It included key components like project initiation phase, equity analysis, and the environmental impact report for the State Route 125 corridor. I am pleased that we're seeing progress, and I want to highlight the importance of this analysis and the impact that it has on South County communities so that they're not left behind. Equity has to be at the forefront of this work and this particular project so to create fair and accessible transportation solutions for the region. You know, for too long, the South County communities, and my colleagues have mentioned it as well, who are here today, that we shoulder a disproportionate share of transportation costs. And so it's not just a fee, it's a barrier that continues to limit access to economic opportunities, healthcare, education, especially for some of the communities that already are facing social and economic challenges.
if we're serious about equity, we need to remove obstacles that disproportionately impact our most vulnerable populations. By removing the toll road, we've taken a step towards leveling the playing field for residents in South County and making sure that our transportation infrastructure serves everyone, not just those who can afford it. So we're not talking about equity transportation as a buzzword, but really fundamentally creating opportunities that are inclusive and accessible opportunities for all future. I do want to make sure that we move forward, and I urge the board to not only think about non-toll model and to the team, that we're also including alternatives as to how we get there, right? So the year continues to be really far away in regular normal people's lives. They get impacted every day, and we're trying to address a lot of issues. So as I think I had mentioned this when the original motion was made, but I don't know if I have to just emphasize it again, that I want to make sure that we're looking at what other alternatives exist, so that, you know, we've mentioned things like maybe in the peak hours we open it up for folks. What would that impact be as doing the study, right? So maybe when everybody's going to school, the impact on Bonita communities and how many people try to avoid the toll and then go into the communities, a huge impact on Bonita and in Chula Vista, on the roads, on their safety, etc. So if it's going to be, let's say we are able to find the funding to create a model that allows us to actually take away the fee, but it's not until 2050, I want to figure out what options exist between now and then. And I know that there's other models, and I think that we need to think about it from a perspective of we're the only ones changed, trying to get from point A to point B in our community. So with that, I'm happy to make a motion, and I'm going to thank you. I'll turn over to my colleagues for comments. Mayor.
Thank you so much, Chair. So I just had a question about this, and I do believe that we do need to look into it, you know, what this would entail and all of that. My only concern is that the 125 removal of the toll is nowhere in our Transnet project list. We do have in here the 54-125 express lanes, and then we also have the 52 express lanes to the 125 to the 15, though it doesn't say specifically the removal of the toll. We are using some of those funds that are currently in Transnet for that. So my only concern is anytime we are shifting Transnet dollars to projects that are not promised to our citizens of San Diego County. Yes, did you have a comment on that?
We don't have any Transnet funds on the toll removal for the 125 toll road.
So I
it
did.
Would be, we can check on that in detail, but anything that's not a route that receives those funds there. If it gets paid off, it would be with its own tolls, and it wouldn't be impacting any of the funds. Or if there's other funding that comes in, I think Assembly Member Alvarez earmarked $20 million to pay off or to contribute. But to my knowledge, and we can check, there's no Transnet funds on this route.
Well,
and I think you can verify that.
So by reading this wrong, then on page 13, sorry, I just kind of cut off on my French, and it did not print part of the whole thing. Anyway, it does show some dollars that are coming from the Transnet multi-corridor, so I wanted to verify, maybe someone could answer that.
We can check.
I'm sorry, I just saw this one more
time. Sure. Would have been the connectors with 905.
Thank you for the question. So I see what you're looking at. That's the attachment number one to this item. And it does have Transnet. That Transnet money is sticking with the CMCP high speed transit / SR-125 project. That is on there. What's being removed is the toll revenue. So that project, do you see that Transnet line? It hasn't changed at all. So why you're being shown this is the $300,000 is being removed from that project, and it's being put on the other project.
Okay, so it's the money that's already there allocated from the CMPC for the 125. Is that right?
So there is a portion that is funding this from Transnet Major Corridor.
Right.
And it's saying on that project for the scope, which is included in the Transnet Major Corridor that you referenced.
Yes.
So okay. That's just a portion of the funding is staying there. It's not moving. to the other project.
Got it. What I was trying to get to was, were we taking it from something else that was already in Transnet that was a different project? So that's all I was, because it's very misleading the way this is. And we might want to, you know, in the future when we have something like this that needs clarification, when you have a red line and then you have an allocation, maybe to go into further explanation. If it's on consent, maybe it's in the notes or something like that, only because I just kind of looked at this and went, wait, well, I have to ask a question because I have to understand that. So, all right, thank you for the clarification. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm in support of the motion and the entire consent calendar, and particularly item number five. Can I go back a ways in history? Many years ago, Mayor Salas from Chula Vista brought this up as an issue that we need to address heavily, and I'm glad we're making some headway in this. But I have some little questions with regards to how we're going to use these funding to do this equity analysis. And I brought up in the past that equity, in my mind, means we not only look at what we deal with at the present, but we look at the past in terms of inequities in the past. So for quite some time now, we've had a toll road. This was the main toll road in our whole region. And how did that affect everything? And in terms of who was paying for that toll when other roads in the entire region didn't have a toll, and how that came about, as well as what that meant to the residences that had to pay that road, pay that toll road. So that's my first question, Mario. Is this study going to go into that?
Not to my knowledge that it's going to look from the past. This is part of the overall countywide equity analysis to look at the different managed lanes and toll facilities that we have. I can go and check if we're going to go in the past, but I doubt.
So my comment was, that's the way SANEC has been approaching the question of equity, and I would say we need to stop using the word equity and just say equal.
Because if you
mean equity, you better go back 10, 20 years and look at the inequities of the past as we apply funding towards the future and projects towards the future. Otherwise, we're misusing the term equity. Even though this board acted on equity a number of years ago, saying that we're going to try to achieve equity. We have not come there yet, and as long as we misdefine equity, I think that's an error that we're misleading the public. The other question I have is managed lanes, and I've been a proponent of, if we're going to do managed lanes, we do it at least equally, if not equitably, across our whole region. And I know there are constraints in terms of how many managed lanes we can convert at any given time, but we do north-south as well as east-west, and we make it work. Otherwise, this business of people taking different routes to achieve avoidance of managed lanes or making any payments happens, or people going off onto roadways. So my city has been suffering from that for a number of years because of congestion issues. People get off the freeway because it's congested and come to the Mesa, and they cause all kinds of other traffic problems as well as pollution problems in our city. We have a disproportionate amount of that, and I'm sure there are many other communities throughout our region that have that kind of problem because of our inadequacies in certain locations, intersections, and roadways. So I hope we think about that as we're going to the 2025 plan. But thank you for that clarification.
First of all, I could not agree more with Josh than I think I've ever agreed with him. I really respect you. Thank you for that. As I mentioned before on the last board meeting, Chilvista strongly opposes the conversion of SR-125 to all managed lanes. And if we're talking about being equal, yes, I want to revise the equalness of the county, right? Not just equity for one part of the county, even though when we talk about the 125, we think Chula Vista, but it's not just Chula Vista, let's be real, it's all South Bay.
we're impacting the 805, we're impacting the 5, because commuters from Otay Mesa or the border crossing in Otay, the future of Otay Mesa too, they find the toll offensive. So they go to the 805, they go to the 5. We're going to be reducing the wait time of the 805 and the 5 when we open the 125. So let's not think Chula Vista just by itself. Let's think holistically in the region, right? And the workforce that we have and the students that are coming from the south. So I want to encourage this board to think holistically. Stop thinking about Chula Vista. I think about Chula Vista, but it's also all this floating population that we have going northbound every single day, going southbound every single day. We're reducing the time that they get to spend with their families. There's extra 30 minutes if you're waiting an hour in the 805 or the 5. You have extra 30 minutes with your family when you open the 125, not impact all these main arteries from the south. So I just have one question because I know we're going to be talking more about this on item 7. Does the project initiation also include the state of good repair studies we need to submit to Caltrans?
That's actually what it is. The project initiation, a couple points of clarification, I promise I'll be brief. First of all, the regional plan is the snapshot of what is being foreseen, and it's being done in this new cycle for 2025. The window that is very important is the window up to 2035. That is what is in the finance perspective, and correct me on Twitter if I'm saying something wrong here. So by including the 125 with no tolls, it opens the window for the board and for us as a staff to bring in the different scenarios and finding financing strategies to take out the toll within that window. It also identifies that it will have more traffic. The speeds will go down. It helps a little bit on the 805 and the 5. But at the same time, and I think what Mr. Hsu was saying, around that same timetable, most probably the 805 managed lanes, the HOVs will be converted to managed lanes, as well in North County, the 5 HOV lane could be converted to managed. So I just want to put it out there, and we will be coming later, not later today, but we'll come in subsequent board meetings with the revised network based on the comments you gave us on the last meeting. But it's very, it is confusing, but basically it opens the door to continue with the process of taking the tolls away. Now, when I said managed lanes would be included in the 125, it's not financeable, so it would be put out on the unconstrained around 2050, if it were to be needed. So basically, short term, tolls will be taken out if we figure out how to pay for them. So I just want to put it very clear. And the team, I think, is the PIT team. I do see here our PIT team, in case there is any more questions. Technical questions.
I know. When we talk about managing, it just seems to us that it's talking about more tools, right? So we're taking a toll to charge them in another way. I think 2050, I feel hopeful that we're going to figure out how to pay it without having to install them. I feel hopeful, right?
Absolutely.
So if there's anything you want to add to that, please jump in.
I think, Nikki, more than anything, the question was how can we expedite the PIT that we have it for about 12 months? I think Council Member Morgan also asked me on the sidelines. So I don't know if you want to address a little bit of the schedule of the project initiation document and the scope.
I would say that the approximate time of 12 months is really the expedited way. If we could get it to you sooner than that, we need to. But that also includes, you know, relinquishment process, looking at all the assets in that corridor, maybe rehab, repair, or upgrade. We will send you more information as we go along in the process.
So I just want to add, Mario, thank you, Nikki, that, you know, the process that we're going to enter in for the PID also includes some preliminary environmental work. And so that's going to take some time as well to gather the information that's out there, look at the studies conducted. So as much as we recognize that, you know, this is a really high priority for the region, we're going to do our best to expedite. But certainly we have to ensure we run the proper course to get it done.
I appreciate it. And not just on behalf of Children's, but the whole South Bay and all the users that we have. We grandfather in a floating population here, that we have this workforce that comes every single day, these students, this tourism, and it comes down on us and our arteries, right? Our main arteries. So anything we can do to make prompt solutions is greatly appreciated.
I'm trying to move this along so that we can make sure everybody gets an opportunity to speak. Councilmember Buck.
I'm sorry, Chair, I didn't hear you. I heard Councilmember, I assumed you were my name. I'm so sorry. It just seems to me that any reduction in toll revenues results in a reduction in revenues for Sandag to complete the projects that have been on the books for quite some time. I have here the Proposition A from 1987. We're on page 24. It certainly says Route 78 corridor, reserve fund for highway related interchange and arterial improvements, and additional Route 78 widening, and also widen the freeway from I-5 to in Oceanside to I-15. So, I mean, these have been on the books since 1987. So I just get a little bit worried about that. While I do understand, I do understand the plight, right? I get why it's necessary and why we want to remove the toll. But I just think we consistently come back and say, wouldn't it be nice if Sandag honored the high priority projects that were already on the books? I think it would just add to, I don't know what I would call, credibility of the agency. So I just felt like I had to stand up for North County and for Carlsbad, the I-578 and the stop sign that we talk about all the time. And while I do appreciate removing the tolls, it's going to come back to all the rest of us in paying for it somehow. Thank you.
Councilor Moreno.
Thank you, and thank you for the presentation. I continue to be extremely disappointed with how Sandag is handling the 125. You guys have heard where I stand on the 125. I think I stand with Chula Vista, National City, South San Diego. We want controls removed now. We're the only community that gets triple taxed on this toll. We pay taxes every single year, we pay the toll, and we pay TransMet funding. We're the only community that does this. This to me seems like we are slow walking this issue, and I do recognize, Mario, I was very supportive of you, and I thank you for accepting this very, very difficult challenge. But this is no longer in your hands, this is in our hands now, because of how we have voted. We have money at risk. I know that Assembly Member Alvarez is watching this, the $20 million that he's provided this agency, and that money is absolutely at risk, given the state of California clawing back a lot of its funding. So, and I can understand where the environmental analysis might take a year, but a whole year to wait for the equity analysis? A whole year to wait for a timeline on the toll? That to me sounds ridiculous. And I will not be supporting the action today because of that year. How much longer do we have to wait? 2042? I think we were very clear in making this fair to residents of South Bay. This is to me an injustice to the South Bay. And as I mentioned, and I will ask for the record, there was a reference to the fact that this would possibly, I can't find my words, the bond is at stake right now, right? And that's, we have a bond against the 125, and we want to make sure that we have a responsibility to bondholders. But nobody has told us how much that exactly is going to cost every single year to make the bondholders whole. And that is my question. How much will this cost SANDAG to make the bondholders whole? But the number one thing, the number one conversation that I have been asking now since I've sat here, that I literally am Shawnee Rivera's alternate, and I come here to fight for the South Bay, to make sure we get a piece of the pie, to make sure we're getting justice and fairness, and we're not. And moving this for another year is not just and is not fair. And so I will not be supporting the motion before us unless we have a commitment that the equity analysis and also the removal of the toll operations, that should be 3 months max for an analysis of how fast we can move these, how fast we can remove the tolls. The environmental, I understand that's gonna take longer, but this is just, to me, a whole year is ridiculous. We asked for this a while ago now, and I will not be supporting the motion on the floor. I absolutely stand with my residents in South Bay, and I continue to implore SANDAG to make the tolls free. Thank you.
Just want to clarify some process here. The work that the team is going to propose in this budget is to line up the decision and be able to move forward if the tolls are taken off. That doesn't mean that nobody's going to be working on it during that period. This is a requirement that's needed. We need to sign an agreement with Caltrans that they will take it, that a lot of those studies are required by the state. In parallel, we will be doing the financial analysis, and we can get you that about how much is sold, how much is generating. And I think before my time, there was a presentation that the bonds, the first time to call in the bonds was 2027, if my memory serves me right. So what we're doing is, nothing can happen in this region from a project perspective if it's not in the RTP. So first of all, a big check mark was to put it, see if we would be in compliance and put it in the 2025 RTP that's being developed. That's a huge, huge achievement.
But I'm sorry to interrupt you since this was my time, but there's nothing that impedes us from stopping the toll. There's nothing that stops us. As long as we make the bondholders whole, there is absolutely nothing that's stopping us from removing that toll. It's just political will.
That up to a point, you're right, after 2027, that's a point. But then who maintains the facility and who pays for the maintenance of that facility has to be discussed and negotiated. SANDAG doesn't have the financial capacity to manage an existing road. We plan, like I mentioned in my past presentation, we plan and we construct. In very rare cases, we operate, which is this road. We will need to handle it, pass it on to the state highway network. And the state has their requirements, and we need to negotiate that with them.
And I understand that. We've relinquished the 675 down in the South Bay, and I understand that that's a tedious job. But once again, I stand with my no vote. Removing the toll is political will at this point. We keep on, a yes vote on this is to continue to tax the South Bay residents 3 times. So I will not be supporting this item before us.
So unless
we come back with the shorter time frame on this. It is ridiculous.
Okay, that's the one we want to cue, but I need clarification. So is it political will, or is it a fiduciary responsibility? Because I want to make sure, I want to understand that, because, okay, I can make a vote right now, and we do away with the toll, right? We do that right now. So what actually happens if we do that right now? Because, well, it's not just let's do it. The problem is that we have a responsibility to the bond. I want to take it out. I mean, that's all I heard in my Bonita meeting on Monday. It's all I hear every time I go anywhere, because we're telling people that we're going to do this, but we have a responsibility, And we're going to have a conversation after this, after closed session, specifically about our tools operations and some of the challenges that we have there. So as wearing my hat as a chair of SANDAG, right, even though I'm a resident of the county, I want to better understand what that means.
Don, do you want to talk a little bit about the financing?
Yes. So we presented previously about the timing of the call on the existing debt. The board of its discretion could find, you know, money from other sources if you so choose to actually fund and escrow the fees as bonds. It will be quite a bit more expensive to actually do that, to be able to remove the toll sooner. That would make, basically would set aside an escrow account to forward refund those bonds that have a call date in 2027 and beyond. We also presented that in 2027, that's the first call date. So the principal and interest payments would continue to accrue until 2027. We also have the $20 million, and I would like to clarify that is in SANDAG's accounts right now. We've already drawn that from the state, so that funding is not at risk. But we also had an additional time period that we would need for the revenues to come in to make to fully pay off the debt, right? We said the break-even period was 2029. If the board, desires to, look under the couch cushions or really be aggressive and find another source of funds to pay those bonds off sooner or to ask for the fees, we would work with our financial advisor and model that up and look with our bankers and see what it would cost. But it's
all right,
going
then
to be
this
cost.
Is what we're
going to
do. I'm going to pull this item number 5. I can pull it, right? And legally, I can pull it. I'm going to move this item to the next board meeting, and I want you to bring me all those opportunities. How about that?
We can do that. I would like to also say, though, that's the financial part.
That's fine.
What this study was going to do was look at the other requirements, because the financing, as we've said before, is only one piece of it. If we take the tolls off, that is something we have to work out with Caltrans under the franchise agreement, which says we're going to operate a toll facility until a certain time, and to request that they take that back as a free flow facility. There are those additional requirements, and that's what this particular study is going to look at. What else is needed to actually turn that facility back over to Caltrans as a free flow facility?
So in a nutshell, in addition to just paying it off, we would need an environmental clearance and some additional analysis to negotiate with Caltrans the state of good repair. This is what it's doing. So even if we would come with the financial strategy to pay it off, the environmental document in the project initiation to evaluate state of good repair will be the basis to Caltrans, to negotiate with Caltrans the relinquishment. This is a required process also.
Chair, if I may, I think that the one thing that is important, well, everything is important, but the one thing that to me sticks out is the environmental analysis. And let me remind you, this is a preliminary to the environmental analysis. I just can't believe we do so many pre's to actual documents. But nonetheless, I think the environmental analysis, as our CEO mentioned, is probably the one that should move forward. But in regards to the equity analysis and the toll road timeline, that I think is what we should discuss. I'm not ready to approve that part. The environmental, we should move on.
So what are the options that I'm getting from staff?
I think that
to address my colleague's request.
You know, right now we would be just giving you a proposal, very preliminary. I think the best idea is to come back at the next meeting with the information that you're requesting, but also giving you an estimate of the environmental analysis separate, and what will be, let's call it the bare bones cost of the items that will be needed that would allow us to negotiate and entitle or get the permission to transfer this facility. I think if right now getting something off the cuff wouldn't be responsible on my side.
Yeah.
clarify one point. The reason we have preliminary analysis for the environmental is as we work on the project initiation document, we'll be better prepared for the environmental process to be more streamlined. We can't start the environmental process until the project initiation document is complete. So we were trying to front load some of that work earlier on. So if we don't approve the project initiation document, we can't start on any of the environmental analysis. So I just want to clarify that step has to happen first. And that project initiation document and some of the processes is outside of just Caltrans approval, as per the California Transportation Commission. So we're trying to follow all the steps and start the work now. So I just want to clarify.
2 weeks. 2 weeks is not going to kill us. Let me just interject, but I recognize that the CTC is asking for what would require a preliminary environmental analysis. They're not requiring an equity analysis and also a timeline for the removal of the toll roads, right? It's just part one that you are mentioning.
Yes.
I think me complaining about the preliminary is it's just me being, you know, a regular resident. I thank you for that. So I continue to stress that the preliminary environmental analysis report is probably the one that we should move forward with. How much does it cost? I don't know. But 2 and 3, I think, just a little.
I have been informed that the equity, can somebody just say that? I don't want to say it because I want to make sure somebody
gets. Thank you. So I think to address the concerns, we could, you know, remove the equity analysis from what we're asking for. That is a separate portion. That's $200,000 for that equity analysis that's in the report. $400,000 is to advance the PIB and the environmental analysis. So if we want to decouple those efforts, I think we could do that if you'd like to do that option and then come back with more information about the equity analysis.
Give a substitute motion to move forward with the preliminary environmental analysis report. That's correct.
Yep. Oh. Okay. Okay. I have
some other
people on the queue.
There's
a lot of other items.
We can do the change document and the preliminary environmental analysis as one effort, and the equity analysis as a separate one.
I second that.
Council member, I think that it's also important to include the financial analysis as well.
Yeah, honestly, the financial analysis shouldn't take a year.
No, but I mean, it should be included in your motion because it's not in there right now.
But I want the financial analysis in like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's going to be included in the motion. The previous motion said 1 year.
Was there a motion? Wasn't that a recommendation?
Yes, there was a motion.
No, I made a motion to move the consent calendar, the consent agenda, and then somebody else, council member, Chavez seconded, and then now Councilman Moreno has made a substitute motion, and I'm asking her, because it wasn't against her motion, I'm just for clarification, I'm asking if we just had a conversation where we also should get the financial component of it, so I'm asking.
I don't think it should be in the motion. I think that's something that staff should just do for us in the next 2 weeks.
Okay.
Chair, I have a point of order.
Yes, sir.
Because we had a motion on the consent calendar and we've actually gone way out into the weeds on item number 5 solo. So we should probably have put on the consent calendar, remove this, and have a separate vote on it.
Well, so she just made a substitute motion for the consent. I think we're good. I just have a couple of other people on the queue. And it's okay to
reiterate my motion.
Sure.
Okay. So I made the motion for the substitute motion to move forward with the preliminary environmental analysis report. That's it. And move the balance of the consent agenda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I have other people on the queue. Mayor Minto?
There's a lot of questions, obviously. A lot of things going on here. One of the things that my biggest question is, and I hate to say this, but I kind of agree with Jack also, was this is a payday for you, kind of. We need to have a better understanding of what equity versus equal means and things of that nature, because quite frankly, my question is also, how do you determine that? How do you determine whether people have been treated equitably or equally, or just because they live in South Bay that, and they're not treated the same as maybe other areas because, 52 doesn't have a toll or whatever? If that's what you're hanging your hat on, I'm not sure that's the best way of looking at it, because usually taking a toll road is a choice. I grew up in a family that was very tight with their money, and they would go way out of their way just to avoid something like that, even though they probably could afford it. So the question is that equitable or not? Because people choose not to do it because they just don't want to spend the money. It's like, you know, going to the store and buying a brand name versus the store name. You can afford it, maybe you can't, but it's a choice. And so that's the kind of thing I want to understand about when we talk about equity or equality. And then also, I guess maybe this is a question for Everett. Let's say we stop this toll, we transfer the property. Is there any reason or anything that prohibits the state from implementing the toll again? Get their contribution out of it?
Well, that's what the studies would tell us down the road in terms of the environmental impacts and what mitigation measures we may be able to identify. If we get through that process, certainly we can't predict the future and what changes may occur in the future, but based on the process, the environmental studies, and the outcomes of those studies, we can at least have a fairly good understanding of whether there's going to be changes in the future or not.
The bottom line is, though, if you say, well, the state of California says, well, you know, we really can't accept this because we can't afford it, or, you know, there's still obligations or whatever, whatever the terminology that comes out of it, the state could say one of the recommendations is we will take this over, however, a toll has to remain. I mean, that's just, I'm throwing that out there because somebody wants
Not necessarily, and this is where, again, where we go through a process of evaluating how do we manage the environmental impact, especially as it relates to air quality.
Right.
It's not that the state doesn't want to take this over. We already knew we were going to take this over in 2042, 2043, so it's coming back to the state. The argument is to come back to the state earlier than expected, right? So, and I think that's where we're working towards to address.
Yeah. I just don't want us to think that just because we pass it off that there won't be an additional cost somewhere along the line, because it's always a possibility. So, and the other cost may not be as good as the one that we have now. I just food for thought.
All right. You're correct.
Thank you. I have cleared my calendar for the rest of the afternoon, but I do have a hard stop at 5 o'clock today, so look, the gentlewomen from the South Bay are top-notch representatives of the people of their communities. I applaud them. But I would also like to mention that the history of this toll road is that it was acquired out of bankruptcy from a private sector operator of the toll road. And it was done so on the premise that the Sandag would have this toll in place until the bonds were paid off. So while I appreciate the goal is to remove the toll prematurely, I think that it's incumbent upon this agency to do so from an informed position. So I would only ask that we not rush into anything, especially given that 28 date, I think, was the first that it could be paid off and so on and so forth. So, I think that the amount of time that we spent on this is indicative of the advocacy of the representatives of the South Bay. I know Mayor Salas was also very good at this, and it's been a subject to conversation countless times at this body. And my hope is that someday we can get to the point where we're not beating this to death. Ultimately, removing the toll has environmental impacts that we need to analyze. It has budgetary impacts that we need to analyze. I'm with Councilmember Burkholder. There are other projects in the region that will pay the price for removing the toll. And given the premise of the original purchase, I think that we owe it to the region to make sure we analyze this properly. I can also read AB 805 tea leaves, and I noticed that with San Diego and Chula Vista, being the strongest advocates, that a weighted vote would not vote well for those small cities that are on this body. So I again would ask that we just take our time and analyze this correctly.
So yeah, and you forgot the county. It's a strong way to vote. So Mayor Krantz, I really appreciate those comments. I have two more people on the queue, but I just want to reiterate to folks that the reason why you have, and I don't speak for my colleagues, I can speak for myself, the South County has very much changed in terms of who the representatives are. And I think if you look around the room, this is not what it looked like when many of these decisions were made. And the communities that were impacted were not at the table to really be able to advocate. So when I talk about equity and equality, I'm talking about people like me. My community was not represented at any of these discussions. The people who were representing us back then had a very, very different perspective of what equity was, even talked about it or thought about it. And the reality is that we are trying to serve constituents that have brought this up over and over, and all of the other issues duly noted. But I want to make sure that the reason why you have representatives that are such advocates on these issues now is because for many years, and I can talk about landfills, I can talk about the Tijuana River Valley, I can talk about all of these issues that for years have impacted our communities without actual equitable representation. So I just put that on the table so that when we're making decisions, many of you have been fortunate enough to have representatives in North County or in other areas that have represented your interests, I can assure you that we have not. So that is what I wanted to make sure I share with everyone. Mayor.
Thank you so much, Chair. I totally agree with Mayor Krantz. He said actually much of what I was going to say. The only thing that I would caution is, yes, there's a line. There's a line of all the projects that we have prioritized as a board. I actually don't believe in toll roads myself if they weren't built originally as a toll road. I would like to get rid of the toll. However, there are going to be environmental costs, but the financial costs also cannot be ignored. I don't feel that it would be appropriate for us to push any projects ahead of something else that's been waiting for a long time, because again, back to the line. And then the environmental part, where are we going to make up the mitigation measures that we may have in other parts of the county? So, or is it going to be in South County? I don't really know how that works. So I am in favor of moving forward with the environmental part of it, because I think that's important to note. But I think also, how does it fit within the financial part of all of the projects we've already promised, all of the income that we already have, and so the environmental costs and the financial costs to be evenly weighed and fully incorporated in what we come back with. And then let me just make sure there's nothing else. No, I think that's pretty much it. Anyway, thank you.
And I think that this motion does get here. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'll make it real quick because Councilman reminded me that this is a consent calendar. We want to move on. It's not just the tolls. Because there's a toll on 125, more people travel on 805 and 15, traveling through already very impacted community. They're getting much more pollution, and they're already impacted already. So we talked about health impacts last year. I want to continue thinking about that as well. That's why it's so important to really address equal, if not equitable. Unlike the amendments that were made from the complete the consent calendar, I hope SANDAG staff just takes this discussion that we had in good heart and move things as fast as we can. I think there are so many things to address, from Caltrans to CEQA analysis, and our overall goal of reducing VMT. Tolls do reduce VMT. So as we take away this toll, we need other methods to reduce VMT. Not 19% by 2035. Science has told us that we have to reduce VMT 25% per capita by 2030. That's the goal that we should be talking about. And I really am upset that we don't look at state law and not addressing that kind of goal. And that's what we have to deal with. So probably a bit off topic, so I'll say we should go fully vote. Thank you.
Okay, I have one more. Mayor, and then I'm closing it up so we can take a vote. Go ahead.
Yeah. I want to add to the conversation. I fully support doing these environmental studies. And I'd like to challenge the question, the assumption that tolls reduce DMT. Because when people have to get to where they're going to go, and they need to avoid the tolls, perhaps for economic reasons, they're going to be pushed onto the streets, the surface streets, and through residential neighborhoods. So I certainly hope that the model will include that. And I'd like to propose that we may want to do something in response to the new information that we are receiving, and we will receive later today, about the difficulty of attaching the data that's coming from the toll system to the financial data and making that flow accurately and properly. That's new information. So the second question I have is it possible, is it an option, to suspend on an interim basis the tolls immediately? So that would be a suspension, not a removal. We turn it all off while we can't handle the data. Thank you.
So because this is a consent agenda item, I think that what we're going to do is I'm going to ask our... I'm going to ask him to include it in the response to the board, okay? All right, with that, there's no further discussion. I have a substitute motion and it's all up there. Could you put the motion up? Is there any second voting on? Okay, please vote.
Billions of dollars that are hoarded at the airport authority, you could actually pay for it.
there's a funding solution that you still haven't looked into. Never. I've been coming here for, what, 3 years since this changed, the law changed for the FAA to allow transit to be paid for by air companies.
Your time is expired.
Says our comment. Please come to the podium.
I believe you left. I just checked and we're in the restroom. Thank you. Paul the Bull, please go ahead. Sorry, what item are we on? Is this number six?
This is the concession item number six.
Number six is the updated progress on the toll back office system.
No.
Did not? What?
It is the closed session item, just to be clear.
Well, what happened to the update on the back office system?
That is item number seven. So you are on item number six, conference with legal counsel, significant exposure to litigation pursuant to government code section 5485.6.9, sir.
Okay, sorry, I didn't have really much to say on this. I hope you don't skip out on us for the Padres game until we finish the entire agenda. Thank you.
Our final commenter, phone number 813, please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
Okay, great. So, yes, okay. So on this, I also, yeah, I'm not too clear on it, but I just wanted to remind remind the people how, you know, it's really funny how people like to play the victim, and yet when these people, as Vargas, have the opportunity to be representative of her constituents, she failed them.
Are you focused on item number six? This is closed session.
Yes. People, people see right through you, Conflicts of Interest, Vargas. I'm done.
That concludes the public comments.
All right, with that, we're going to ask anyone who is not supposed to be in closed session to please exit the room at this time, and we'll reconvene to share any reportable actions and take another agenda of public action. And after number seven.
Make everybody wait for some.